ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Amshuman, Text Number 46. Ye Vikshipa Indriya Dhiya Devaha Te Svahridi Sthitam Na Vindanti Priyam Shashvat Atmanam Kim Uta Apare Ye Vikshipendriyadiyo Ye Vikshipendriyadiyo Devaste Svahridisthitam Devaste Svahridisthitam Navindati Priyam Shashvat Navindati Priyam Shashvat Atmanam Kimutapare Atmanam Kimutapare Ye Which personalities? Vikshipta Indriya Dhiya, whose senses, mind, and intelligence are always agitated because of material conditions. Devaha, like the demigods. Te, such persons. Svahridi, in the core of the heart. Sthitam, situated. Na, not. Vindati, no. Priyam, the dearmost personality of Godhead. Shashvat, constantly, eternally. Atmanam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kimuta, what to speak of. Apare, others, like human beings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Even though the demigods have the advantages of being situated in the higher planetary system, their minds, senses, and intelligence are agitated by material conditions. Therefore, even such elevated persons fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally situated in the core of the heart. What then is to be said of others such as human beings who have fewer advantages? Purport. It is a fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddesher juna tishtati. But because of our material anxieties, which are inevitable in this material world, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord, although He is situated so near to us. For those always agitated by material conditions, the yogic process is recommended so that one may concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa pasyanti yam yoginaha. Because in material conditions, the mind and senses are always agitated by the yogic procedures like dharana, asana, and dhyana. One must quiet the mind and concentrate it upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the yogic process is a material attempt to realize the Lord, whereas bhakti, devotional service, is the spiritual process by which to realize Him. Maharaja Khatvanga accepted the spiritual path, and therefore he was no longer interested in anything material. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti mam abhijanati, only by devotional service can I be understood. One can understand Krishna, the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only through devotional service. The Lord never says that one can understand Him by performing mystic yoga or by philosophically speculating. Bhakti is above all such material attempts. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam. Bhakti is uncontaminated, being unalloyed even by jnana or pious activities. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Ye vikshipendriya dhiyo devaste svahridistitam navindati priyam shashvatat manam ki mutapare. Even though the demigods have the advantages of being situated in the higher planetary system, their minds, senses, and intelligence are agitated by material conditions. Therefore, even such elevated persons fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally situated in the core of the heart. What then is to be said of others, such as human beings, who have fewer advantages? Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Аджану ламбита буджок накавадата санкиртанай капитаро камалая такша Вишвамбаро двиджаваро югадарма пало Ванде джагат приякаро каруна аватара Янтах правище мама вачим имам прасуптам санджиивая такила шакти дарах свадамна Аньям шахаста чарана шравана твагадим Прананна мау бхагавате пурушая тубим. Hare Krishna. So here we see how Maharaja Khatvanga is reasoning. And basically he's explaining to us and to himself why he does not want to take any benedictions from the demigods. Demigods voluntarily, without even being asked, to offer him all kinds of benedictions, and he flatly refused, which is a very rare occasion, because usually, as Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, people in this world are after the benedictions of the demigods. It's very rare to find somebody who doesn't want any benedictions from the demigods. Everyone wants some benediction, somebody wants beautiful wife, somebody wants beautiful husband, somebody wants a lot of wealth. And demigods are ready to give, they are ready to give all these benedictions, and they were ready to bestow all these benedictions to Maharaja Khatvanga without any reservations. But he flatly refused, and he explains why here. He says, what can they give? He basically says, these demigods are useless, which is a very strong statement. Said they're constantly agitated. What can they give? They cannot give the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I don't want to have anything else, because I know that anything else will not satisfy me. That was his logic. And usually, people are not as intelligent. People means us are included. We are included in this category. It's very rare that person can completely, without any reservation, to take shelter of God. Usually, we want to take shelter of somebody else who is more accessible. God is too far, you know, of course he exists, maybe. Just in case he exists, I will worship him. But in the meantime, I will also get some benedictions from somebody who surely exists and who is much more accessible than him. That's the logic why people usually take shelter of demigods. First of all, because they're more accessible, they're closer by, they readily give these benedictions. And second of all, which is even most important, because by taking partial shelter of partial manifestations of God, they partially maintain their independence. Why it is so difficult for us to take shelter of God? Because we know to take shelter of God means to give up our independence 100%. 108%. Not less than this. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyana vritam. Nothing else. Who is ready to do this? Nobody is ready to do this. Whereas if we take the partial shelter of partial, you know, devatas or partial representative of God, whoever they may be, they may be, you know, temple president or FRO officer or somebody else who is very accessible and relevant to our particular situation, we don't have to surrender completely. We will have to surrender a little bit, but still we maintain the illusion of our independence, which is the most dear to us. Our whole program of existing in this material world is to maintain independence, to prove to the world that I am independent. And even though for 100 times a day we fail to prove it, because we always have to take shelter of somebody, of a doctor, of you know, of a policeman, of, you know, husband or wife or whoever it is, still the illusion of independence is very dear to us. It is said here that God, who is in the heart, is very dear. He is Priyam. But for us, he is not dear. What is dear for us? The illusion of our independence. I am on my own. I can do it. And I will prove to everyone that I can do it. So this is the main problem of the human being. And therefore, usually people prefer to take shelter of the demigods or any other, you know, powerful personalities or personalities even not so powerful. You know, wife maybe not so powerful, still we will have to take shelter of her because in some ways she is more powerful than us. And again, we are completely useless and infinitesimal and actually don't have much power, but still we want to say I am independent.
But Maharaja Khatvanga, he shows the greatest intelligence. That's the manifestation of greatest intelligence when we understand that nobody else can save me. Ultimately, nobody else can save me. But what deprives us of this intelligence is pride. Therefore, once Srila Prabhupada gave a brilliant, amazing definition of humility. This is Hari Vilas Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He explains this, that once they were walking in the Boulogne forest in France, he asked him, Prabhupada, can you tell me what we always hear? Humility, humility, humility. Many times a day we hear, be humble, be humble. But what does it mean in practical sense? And Prabhupada gave this definition of humility. He says, humility is the understanding that nothing in this material world will save you. No doctors, no weapons, no your material abilities, nor your intelligence. Nobody, nothing will save you but the Lord Himself. He is the only saving grace. If we understand this, we are humble. If we don't understand this, we will try to take shelter of something else, and by taking shelter of something else, we manifest our pride. This is the subtle manifestation of our pride, because we are trying to take shelter not of God, but we try to maintain the illusion of independence, and therefore we are trying to somehow or other to save ourselves or to exist in this world by taking shelter of somebody else. And here Maharaja Khatvanga gives a very significant reason why we should not take shelter of anyone else but God Himself. He says, Я викшипендрия дхио. He says, anybody else is викшипендрия дхио. Vikshipa Indriya Dhiya. You know, his mind and intelligence and senses is completely distracted. And it basically means, in practical sense, it means that now I want to give shelter to you, but next minute I don't want to give shelter to you. Why? Because my mind and intelligence are not stable. My senses are not stable. I'm constantly disturbed. And being constantly disturbed, I don't really understand who I am. Because of this condition, because of the constant influx of the material sensations which we have there, our mind is unstable, and we cannot understand who is God. We cannot understand who we are. It's a very important point for every spiritual seeker to understand, which is elaborately explained by Lord Kapiladev in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the object of the senses are tamasic by nature, and the senses are rajasic by nature, and the mind is sattvic by nature. But because the senses and the mind, the mind is always trying to taste the object of the senses through the senses, then the contamination of the material objects is constantly coming into our mind. Our mind is constantly polluted. 24 hours a day, even when we sleep, still it's being polluted. The mind, which is sattvic by nature, which is given by the Lord Himself to us, to understand Him, which is a very powerful mechanism of the Lord, is constantly polluted by the influx of the sensual impressions. And therefore, our mind is not so clean. So Maharaja Khatvanga says, what somebody whose mind is not clean, whose mind is not steady, what he can give to me? He can only give me what he can share with me. He can only share with me his contamination. Please give me some contamination. Yes, yes, take it. You know, this is what people are doing here. They're sharing between themselves the contamination which they have. Somebody have this type of contamination, and he's very generous, and he's sharing with everyone else. And somebody else has the other type of contamination, and he's sharing it with somebody else. All these writers of, you know, material novels about the, you know, eternal love between, I don't know, Romeo and Juliet. You know, what they're doing, they're just sharing their contamination. And very easily people are being contaminated by this. And Maharaja Katvanga says, I do not want to have anything to do with this. Please forgive me for that. But I do not want to have anything to do with your material contamination, because I have my material contamination, which is heavy enough. You know, what is the use for me to take shelter of somebody else? Because by taking shelter, and that's a very important point for us to understand, if we take shelter of somebody, for sure, by taking shelter of him, we will get all the contamination which he has. That's the law of material nature. If we are taking protection of somebody, if we become dependent of somebody, if this somebody is not pure, we will get, by the means of taking shelter or taking protection of him, by the means of taking protection of him, we will get all his material desires. So Maharaja Katvanga, he explains to us why we should not go to the demigods or, as a matter of fact, to anyone else. If we don't understand that ultimately everything is coming from the Supreme Lord, because by doing this, we will get, our heart will be polluted. And instead of realizing the real goal of life, that is to know the Supreme Lord, we will be further away from this goal. Due to these material desires, which will, in a very natural and spontaneous way, come to our heart from their heart, through this way of exchanging our so-called shelter. So, and therefore, he says, he explains to us what to do. And Srila Prabhupada says that usually when people encounter this condition of unsteady mind, unsteady senses, polluted desires, they try to pacify the mind and the senses through the means of yoga. That's a very, in one sense, is a very natural way. My mind is not steady, so what to do? Let's try to steady the mind. What to do for this? Prabhupada explains, sit in one asana and sit very quietly. After some time, your mind may get little pacified. Usually when people do this, they fall asleep quite soon. Because, you know, nashta prayeshva badrishu nityam bhagavata sevaya, whatever is disturbing in the mind goes away. So, or they do pranayam. Pranayam is a very powerful process. By pranayam, the mind becomes really pacified. You know, if you breathe very slowly, then the mind becomes really slow. That's very good way to fall asleep too. No problem. So there are different ways to fall asleep, but this is how Prabhupada ultimately explains in the purport. This is the material way, the material approach. Why it is material approach? Because you're employing material means. You think that just by breathing slowly you will understand God? How is that possible? What is the logic behind this? Yeah, mind may become a little slow, but the constant influx of the sensual impressions will not stop because of this. Yes, you will sleep a little longer, no problem. But the mind, being so peaceful, will be even more eager to be agitated. Because mind actually hates this peaceful condition. For how long you can be peaceful? Ultimately, you want to be disturbed. To be peaceful is so boring. Who really wants to be peaceful? You know, for a change, to be peaceful is good, but, you know, not always, not all the time. So it's a very mechanical process. And Prabhupada explains this is dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa pasyantiyam yogina. Yes, ultimately, those yogis who are really highly elevated, then dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa, when they reach this stage of dhyana, and dhyana means the mind is so stable and so thick. You know, now at this condition, because of our mind is so polluted and so agitated by all this gunas of material nature, it's very airy. It's very, you know, it's easily disturbed. So by material means of yoga, by the means of yoga, minds become really stable. And dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa, therefore they can do dhyana. And dhyana means concentrated, attention or complete concentration when the mind is not disturbed at all. But in reality, who can do this? Once I had a very interesting experience. With a group of devotees, we came to a cave where Shankaracharya was doing his meditation. It's in South India, in a very high mountain near Mukambika. Down there is a Mukambika temple. On the top of it, there is another Mukambika temple. And nearby, there is a beautiful cave where supposedly Shankaracharya, this is one of the caves where Shankaracharya achieved his enlightenment. You know, I heard many caves like this are there. But whatever it is, it's a beautiful cave and it's a very nice place. And it's very difficult to reach because yogis, to attain this enlightenment or to attain this spiritual experience, they need to be in a secluded place. So you have to climb over for several hours to this mountain, and then you have to go down for some time, and there is jungles, and there is a lot of snakes there. It's really difficult to reach. So after a few hours of climbing to this mountain, we came ultimately to this cave, and we saw a yogi sitting in this cave. And he was sitting in his meditative position, and he was trying to meditate. You know, he was clad in saffron robe, and he was sitting very peacefully with erect spine, his eyes closed. And it's a nice cave. It's actually, in the cave there is already a shower attached there. There is little water is dripping there. It's really fully equipped cave. You can be there for a long time. So he was sitting there, and there is a group of devotees, you know, Hare Krishna devotees. You know how they are. They are very loud. So they were climbing into this cave, taking the, you know, water there, this and that. And here's the yogi, he's sitting there. And, you know, I looked at this yogi, and I saw that he's really, you know, he's sitting there, and, you know, he's... And, you know, I could understand that really, you know, he's not dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa pasyanti yam yoginaha. his mind is not really concentrated, and he is disturbed. He is really disturbed, and you know, I could see the, you know, that there was a some disgusting sort of expression in his face. You know, he didn't like Russian devotees. I don't know why. But in any case, the point which I want to make, and which actually Prabhupada makes very strongly here, is that it's a material process, and even though it works in a very rare cases. Yes, in Srimad Bhagavatam itself it is said, Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pasyanti Yam Yoginaha. Ultimately, yogi can see me, but Krishna himself says, Yoginam api sarvisham madgaten antaratmana shradavan bhajate yoman. Who is the best of the yogis? The best of the yogis is somebody who has faith. And what does it mean to have faith? To have faith, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives a beautiful definition of faith. And basically, it's exactly to the point of this verse. He says, Shraddha tu anyopaya varjam. Shraddha starts when we reject any other upayas or any other means in this world. If we don't trust or don't believe in any other means, it means that we have Shraddha. If we still maintain hold and the trust towards some other means that somebody else will save me or somebody else will help me in this world, it's not Shraddha. And then constantly, he says, constantly, Bhakti Unmukhi, you have to be always inclined to do Bhakti or to please the Lord, to try to please the Lord. I only want to please the Lord, I don't want to please anyone else. That's the spiritual means. The best of the yogis is somebody who has this Shraddha. Is somebody who has this Shraddha. And what it means, what is the next point, you know, what does it mean that you have this Shraddha, and what you practically have to do? That's very important. And that's what Maharaja Katvanga will explain in the next verse. But basically, it's very important for us to understand what does it mean in a practical sense, in a practical, how it is translated in a practical, in our practical life. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this beautiful story about four Kumaras who once were bewildered. They were doing yoga. They were following this process of dharana, dhyana, and samadhi, as explained by Srila Prabhupada. And they came to their father and they asked, Dear father, please explain to us, we have been trying to distract, to retract our senses from the sense objects and our mind from the sense objects, but the relationship between the mind and the sense objects seems to be so natural. How can we really retract our senses inside us if they are so naturally and spontaneously attracted by the sense objects, and it seems like the whole scheme of creation is designed in such a way? We all know the beautiful sound naturally attracts our mind. If somebody sings very beautifully, the mind always goes there. I remember once I was with one professional musician, and there was a group of people, and you know, somebody said, can you teach us or can you show us some beautiful raga? And this musician, he said, what is this raga? And he took one note and said, just listen, this is the most beautiful. sa. Just one note. And when he was singing this note, it was so beautiful, you know. It was, I thought, yeah, this is a very beautiful raga. So the four Kumaras, they approached Lord Brahma and they said, you know, how is that possible to retract our senses from the sense object and the mind from the sense object if they are so naturally, so harmoniously fit to each other? They really fit, you know, all the tastes and the tongue, they are so complementary to each other. And Lord Brahma, he heard this question and he became bewildered. He said, oh, you're right. It is specifically said in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that because Lord Brahma was too busy working in this world, by hearing this answer, question, he couldn't find the answer. He said, you know, you're right. You're right. How is that possible? You know, they're meant for each other. The mind is meant to the senses. The senses are meant to the mind. They are all coming, you know, the senses are coming to the mind. The mind is coming to the senses. How we can separate them? Which is supposed to be done through the process of yoga. And at that point, the white swan appeared on the scene, and that was Hamsa Avatar. And Hamsa Avatar, he gave a beautiful solution to this question, which is the spiritual solution. The material solution is to try to retract the senses. The material solution is to try to somehow or other to withdraw the senses. We know how people are doing this. They are trying to limit the sensual interaction with the sense objects. Go to the cave, go to the monastery, don't look at women. You know, women are so evil. You know, but they're everywhere. So this is all material means. Try to somehow rather limit it. Hamsa Avatar gave a beautiful solution to this problem, to this conundrum. He says, listen, please listen. It's a very beautiful answer which he gave. Gunesh avishati cheto. He says that gunas of material nature, avishati chetaha, they naturally go into our mind. That's true. He agrees with this position. And then he says, gunas chetasi chaprajah. And he says, my dear sons, you're right. Gunas of material nature, they go into the mind. You are absolutely right. Their connection between each other is inseparable. You cannot really separate because gunas are in the mind is in the gunas. Jivasya deha ubayam gunas cheta madatmanam. But you have to understand that ultimately this is all me. I wanted to read this next verse. Sorry. Gunesh chavisa chitam abhikshnam guna sevaya. It's basically the same. Gunas cha chitta prabhava. He said, gunas cha chitta prabhava. The gunas of material nature, the modes of material nature, they influence very much our chitta. Our chitta becomes disturbed, as it is said here, vikshipta. But what to do, madrupa ubhayam tyajet? He said, yes, he agrees with this proposal. Gunas are attached to, the mind is attached to the gunas. Gunas are entering the mind. But what you should do? You should not try to distract the mind from the object of the senses. You should distract yourself from the mind. And that's spiritual solution. And how you should distract yourself from the mind? how you should do this? Madrupa ubayam tyajet. You have to understand that you are of my nature, but not of the nature of the senses and of the mind. Madrupa ubayam tyajet. You will be able to reject the mind and the senses altogether without trying to separate the mind from the senses. That's useless. That's hopeless. But you will be able to separate yourself from the senses and from the mind if you understand that you are Madrupa. As it is said in the Bible, that the human being is created by the image of the Lord. And that's exactly what Hamsa Avatar says in this world. Madrupa Abhayam Tajet. If you understand that you are mine, that your form is already my form, that you are connected with me, that your connection with the world is completely superficial, is unreal in the real sense of the word, this connection is completely artificial. If you understand that your real connection is with me, as Maharaja Katvanga says, that the priyam is in this heart. If you understand that your real connection, sambandha, is with the Lord, then you will be able, and only then you will be able to give up both senses and the mind, your attachment to senses and the mind. And that basically means surrender. If we understand that our inner nature, constitutional nature, is the part and parcel of the Lord, and we are created in such a way, and there is no other way for us to exist, that this is our most natural condition. If we understand this by intelligence, then we will be able to do this. And therefore, Shukadev Goswami, who explained this story, he says that by understanding this by intelligence, he was able to surrender. If we have this Shraddha, that nothing else will save us, and if we have this understanding in our intelligence that we already belong to the Lord, and everything else is artificial, everything else is not natural, everything else will not make us happy, then we will be able to give up everything else and surrender to the Lord. But before we understand this, we will have to spend a few lifetimes in the hopeless attempts to become happy in this material world. It's amazing what I see, and that's actually what makes me so sad. Even devotees who practice devotional service for many, many years, they still somehow or other have the hope that I can become happy here in this material world. Krishna is trying to disprove this to us probably a few hundred times a day. You know, if we look around, nobody is happy. If we look in the mirror, we will also see that somebody else is not happy. If we examine very soberly the nature of this material life, it's not possible to become happy in this material world. Still everyone is trying, and even devotees are trying. Still everyone has some hope. Maybe somehow or other I will become happy. Nobody believes it. Nobody believes that by nature we belong to God, and God is most priya, most dear to us, and He is in our heart. Nobody believes it. And everyone is trying to continue to with this game of agitating mind, always, all the time, just uselessly agitating the mind, agitating the mind, agitating the mind, hoping that by the way of agitating the mind he will become happy. No way, no hope. In Russian there is a saying that hopes dies the last. Everything else is already dead, but hope is still there. The body is dead, but hope is still there. Somehow or other, I will become happy. You know, when people are young, they have this hope, but when people are old, they still have the hope. So there is a continuation of this saying in Russian, the hope dies last, but it should be killed first. If you are intelligent enough, this is where your intelligence has to be applied. You have to kill this hope. This world is hopeless. It's hopeless. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. Krishna himself says, Dukhalayam ashashvatam. There is no hope. And if we understand this clearly, then it will be very easy. And if we understand very intelligently that we already belong to God, and He's waiting for us, He's crying, seeing our unhappiness in this world, our miseries in this world, our stubbornness, our completely, as Prabhupada says, completely irrational unwillingness to surrender to God. That's Prabhupada's phrase. Irrational unwillingness to surrender to God. And therefore, Maharaja Katvanga in this story, he teaches us how we should be reasoning. There is no other hope. Even if 33 crores of demigods will come here and with one voice will tell you, please ask us benediction. You will have to say no. I want to surrender to God. Please forgive me. I'm sorry, but I don't belong to you. I belong to Him. And only if we have this determination, we can say we're intelligent. Otherwise, we're just stupid. Irrational unwillingness to surrender to God. Irrational. We are irrational human beings without proper discrimination. That's unfortunate situation. Why? Because our mind is agitated. And therefore, the only solution is to find shelter of somebody who has the intelligence. Now we cannot do this. We cannot surrender to God. But at least we can surrender to somebody who is surrendered to God. If we appreciate His surrender and His determination and surrender to Him, then we will be able ultimately to surrender to God. And that's how the process works. This is how our reasoning should be. I cannot surrender now. I still have so many hopes and plans to enjoy in this world. But I see somebody and I know somebody is surrendered. Let me try to please Him. Let me try to do some service to Him. And in this way, His determination and His intelligence will come to myself. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Maybe there is some question? Yes? Okay, you say in Russian, I will translate it. Okay. You said that we have to distract ourselves, or we have to cut our connection from the might of the senses. We have to really... but we're using the mind and the senses in the service. No, we're not using the mind and the senses in the service. The mind is using us. Unless we detach ourselves from the mind will be using us, not we. We will have an illusion, I'm using my mind. Yes, 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 yes. There was a nice story. There was one man, he just bought a cow in the market. And he was going home with this cow. and he was pulling the cow by the rope. And there was one teacher, one sadhu, and a few of his disciples. And sadhu was telling to his disciples, look how everyone is attached in this world. Everyone is attached. And now this man is pulling this cow. His cow by the rope. And the sadhu is showing finger unto him and saying, you know, look how he is attached to the cow. He's completely attached to this cow. And the man, he became very, he said, no, I'm not attached to this cow. I'm not attached to this cow. You know, actually, he said, not attached to the cow. He said that everyone is enslaved by their attachments, but by their possessions. And he shows to this man and says, this man is enslaved by the cow. And the man became very, you know, he became really, he didn't like it. He said, no, I'm not enslaved by the cow. The cow belongs to me. She's my possession. And then this sadhu, he snatched the rope from the hands of this man, and the cow started running. Cow started running, and the man started running after her. And the sadhu looked at his disciples and said, who is the slave of whom? He's the slave of the cow, the cow the slave of him. He's running after her. So we're running after our mind. It's an illusion. Unless we understand that we're not this mind, and now we don't understand that we're not this mind, unless we detach from the mind, we will have the illusion that I'm using the mind, but the mind will use us. Some emotion comes to our mind, and this emotion will use us, and we will think, oh, this is my, I'm so sad, You're not sad, you're stupid. Because you're not detached from the mind.
It's so wonderful to see you again, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Thank you for your beautiful class. Maharaj, I was just thinking about this point about the mind. My little understanding is that when we leave this body, whatever is there in the subtle body, the mind, it contains the imprint of the next body we're going to get. So, I just want to understand, Maharaj, what exactly is this mind? And you just explained to answer the question. So, what exactly is the mind? Why does this subtle body? Because it seems like a very important part, because it's when we leave this body, we leave the gross body, but the subtle body comes along.
Yeah. It's not an important part of us, but because we are attached to the subtle body, therefore the subtle body comes along. We cling to the subtle body because the subtle body is our way to realize our program for independence in this material world. The subtle body is actually genius device of the Lord, which gives us the impression that we are the Supreme Lord, you know, by the subtle body is citta, like Lord Kapiladev explains in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that ultimately the first element which is created, the most subtle element, is citta. It's on the universal scale, it is called Mahatattva, or the universal intelligence. And in our case, it is Chitta. And Chitta is Sattvic. It's very stable, it's very clean. And Lord Kapiladev says that the most important quality of this Chitta, when it's clean, it's Bhagavad Bimba Pratitvam? Grahitvam. Bhagavad Bimba Grahitvam. That it will be able to reflect the
image of God. That ultimately we will be able, when our citta is completely clean, citta darpana marjanam, where our citta is completely clean, we will see the image of the Lord within our citta. But when citta is contaminated, and it's constantly contaminated by this process of interaction with the world, when the senses are interacting with tamasic object of this world, then tamas is coming through the rajasic senses into the sattvic citta. And in this way, the citta is contaminated. When the citta is contaminated, then it creates all other images, images of other objects of the world. And ultimately, through the means of ahankar, which is part of the citta, which is tamasic part of the citta, it creates image of ourselves. This is I am. This is how, what I am, what I want to be. This is how I am. Look at me. Just look at me. Just look at me. Look. And we are attached to this image, which is there in this contaminated citta. And because we are attached to this image, and citta being is in constant flux, it's changing the images. And you know, when ultimately we decide by the end of our life whom we want to be the next life, Krishna says, okay, try it again, no problem. You will fail, but you know, you're free to try. And depending on our past karma, depending on our present interaction with the world, and most importantly, depending on our association with other people. Senses are rajasic. Yeah, and therefore we have to detach from the mind, not from the senses. Yes, we do have to purify the mind, but we purify the mind by bringing the mind into the connection with the spiritual objects. Like the sound of Srimad Bhagavatam, sound of the holy name, the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, the holy Dham, and Sri Murti, and ultimately, what else is there? The five. This is how we purify, Cheta Darpana Marjanam. But first and foremost, with the sound of the holy name, we're purifying the mind. And when it's purified, then Bhagavad Bimba Grahitvam, the mind will be able to reflect the image of the Lord and our own image. And we will see the reflection of our own image and the image of the Lord in the clean mind. And in this way, the connection will be established. Otherwise, we will be clinging to the impure images in the mind. Yes, we have to purify the mind, and when the purification process is complete, then the understanding of who is God and who I am in relationship with God will also be complete. But to do this, we have to surrender completely. Why this process? This is a very powerful process, bringing our mind in connection with the spiritual energy through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. But why this process does not work? Because, or does not work as effectively as it can work, because we have so many other goals. We are not surrendered. This process, for it to work properly, 100%, we have to be one-pointed or surrendered.
And we still have hopes, and therefore this process works, but in a slow way, slow pace. Yes, Mataji. Yes. Yeah, because you're not taking shelter of the Lord all the time, and therefore you're only happy when you take shelter of the Lord. The other time you try to take shelter of something else and the mind becomes unhappy. If you take shelter of the Lord completely, then the mind will become very peaceful. You know, I'm completely protected. Just imagine, what does it mean to take shelter of the Lord? It means that you know 100% that Lord will save me, that Lord is kind, that He gives all the mercy. I don't have to be disturbed, to be worried about anything else. Everything is fine with me. You know, just this feeling itself will give you happiness. But you take it for some time and you feel good, but then your mind will become a little agitated and you think, no, I need this and I need that. And you immediately try to take shelter of something else. When you take shelter of the Lord, you are happy. Why you are not happy? Because in the next moment, because of the agitated mind, you give up the shelter of the Lord. And that's unfortunately the situation, fluctuating mind, which cannot be. Anyway, thank you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.